Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to the Chris Castle Show. My name is Chris Castle, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and EFT tapping coach with offices in Hermosa Beach, Palos Verdes, and online. And the focus of our show today is everyday courage and healing. I'll be interviewing real people sharing their stories of courage and ways of healing and how they overcame incredibly difficult situations. I'm really excited about today's guest, and let me tell you why. He really understands everyday healing and courage. He is a leader, trainer, practitioner in the EFT tapping community and has helped thousands heal through EFT. This is why I invited Craig Wiener here today to share his wisdom, stories, science, and experience with you. Craig, welcome. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
It's such a delight to be here with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, well, I just want to get right into it because I know, you know, in the introduction I was talking about EFT tapping, and I think there are a lot of people out there that want to know, what is tapping?
Okay, well, that's kind of a really good starting place because you're right, not everybody does know what that is. You know, we can tap into goodness and tap into abundance and tap into health, but tapping is a modality doesn't, not everybody knows. So tapping is a more generic term for which there are many different techniques and modalities, but the most common and widely utilized of those tapping techniques is called EFT, or more correctly called the Emotional Freedom Technique. So you may hear it as EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, EFT tapping, different ways that they are used, and often they're in the category of what's called energy psychology techniques. And the reason it's called tapping is pretty self-evident when you watch it happen, because you're using, you know, say most people use two fingers, and you're generally gently percussing or tapping, tap, 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 on the different meridian endpoints, primarily on the head, face, and upper body. So that's why it's called tapping. I'll take the question further, but that's a good starting place.
Okay. And what do you even use tapping for? Why would somebody even be interested in using this modality or figuring out why would I do this?
Well, it's a great question, because when I first heard about this 10 to 15 years ago, I heard about it and I started hearing things like, oh, this tapping, it's great. You can use it on headaches and chronic pain, and you could also use it on anxiety and phobias. Oh, and you can also use it on stress, and you could also use it like on a relationship and abundance issues, and you could also use it. So when I first heard about it, to be honest, I was quite skeptical, thinking like, okay, what one technique can work on such a wide variety of issues?
Right.
And for me, and yes, they are, and we'll talk about studies that that are showing the efficacy of that. But what I would say for me, the opening door was when I realized that, okay, what do these things have in common? And all of those things, when they're creating conflicts or challenges in our life, cause stress.
Mm.
Whether it's a financial issue or a chronic physical health issue or a relationship problem or any number of other things. So if this tapping thing was able to reduce the stress levels physiologically, emotionally, psychologically, in relationship to those issues or problems, then perhaps one intervention could have an effect on many different kinds of issues and problems. And that was the doorway in when I started to study the research that said, you know what, that kind of makes sense to me, and allowed me to take a step further, even though I was skeptical at the beginning.
I love that. You make this so simple and digestible, you know, to just tying all of those different things together with stress, which is essentially what makes it hard to figure out what to do next when we're stressed and we can't really think, okay, how do I handle this? What do I do? How do I calm down from this so I know what the next step is. And I just wanted to know from you, how would you define a stress response? How would somebody know if they're having stress?
Well, there are different ways that we can look at how to measure one's stress. What I would say, on one hand, people just say, well, I just know when I am, right? They mm-hmm. have a felt sense, either an emotional or physical response, that they know when they're under stress. But I think just as many people would always say, you know, wow, thinking back at that time in my life, I really didn't realize just how much stress I was under. So what we call that subjective or my perceptive skill in evaluating stress sometimes is good and sometimes is not so good. So the easiest way to look at stress is just how we measure stress, which is through the body, which are measuring the stress chemicals. So in other words, when we look at adrenaline and cortisol and other stress hormones, basically what we can do is we can measure how high those levels are via saliva or blood in the body. We can measure that in conjunction with respiration rate, heart rate, pulse rate, et cetera. So when we talk about stress and we look to the studies, the primary way that we measure...
Okay. We're going to go to a commercial and we'll be right back.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. And then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hey, welcome back. You are talking here with Chris Castle at the Chris Castle Show and Craig Weiner. And so sorry we dropped you there. You know, technical difficulties, they will happen. But we're so happy to be back. And we were talking about stress and EFT tapping. Mm-hmm. And Craig, I actually wanted to, I think it's a great place to bookmark it because I want to come back and talk about stress and the stress response in the body. But, you know, I actually wanted to ask you a little bit about your background, to let people know who you are and, you know, what you know about tapping and how did you even find tapping? How did you get into this?
Sure. Well, my background is in working with stressed people who are suffering primarily with pain because I've been a chiropractor for almost 30 years now. And so in Northern California and in Seattle, Washington area. And so for me, I had explored many different modalities over the years for how to work with people's stress and pain levels. So that's my professional background and my personal interest.
And then what led you into... Oh, go ahead.
I'd always been interested in many different alternative and complementary approaches to doing that effectively. About 12 years ago or so, I had started reading and hearing a little bit, like many people do, online. Somebody wrote an article. At that point, it was Dr. Joe Mercola, who runs an alternative health website. And I started reading about it, and that's when I was very skeptical, to be honest. But I was interested. It intrigued me. I actually invited, I had often put on presentations at my office on different types of integrative healthcare. And so I realized, you know what, I really don't know much about the EFT thing. And so I looked online to see if there was a local practitioner, and there was. And so I invited her to my office to give a presentation on it, found it fascinating, took a training, continued to train, and ended up getting married to my original EFT trainer. So it's been quite a journey from skepticism. What I want to say is that it's absolutely fine to be skeptical first, because who knows, you could end up being a leader and trainer in the field with something that you're initially skeptical about when you started to see the results. So that's how I came to it, to be honest. Yeah.
I love that story, and just, you know, talking about that journey, starting being skeptical, which I think is smart and practical, you know, to be skeptical and say, you know, what is this thing that I'm going to try out or I'm getting into? And it's just so cool how that turned around being your story. And I do want you to tell the listeners just a little bit more about where you have taken that EFT practice now, because I know you do a lot of incredible things with EFT and training people around the world.
Sure. Well, most of my time, I still have a part-time chiropractic practice, but most of my time is really devoted to training, mentoring, teaching, consulting. And so, you know, around the U.S., and we're just in Australia, and we'll be in the U.K., myself and my wife teach and train practitioners. And that's everything from people that are psychologists and medical doctors who are trained, to people that just want to become practitioners, for people that want to learn it for themselves and use it with their family. So a pretty wide diversity, but mostly to professionals, I'd say. And so I teach, we train, we run workshops in person, and then advanced workshops online on EFT, advanced forms of tapping, trauma. And so most of my time is teaching and mentoring. But I still see clients actually around the world, because the beauty of EFT is that it doesn't have to be in person. That, you know, I use Zoom, we've used Skype in the past, FaceTime, and I often work in conjunction with people, with their doctors and their psychotherapists and psychologists. So a teamwork approach. And what I would say is there are so many things that you can use EFT for as a self-regulation tool, when you're stressed, when you're anxious, when you're worried, when you're scared, so many different things. And then there are times and different complexity of issues that it really is best to be working with a skilled certified practitioner who may come from any number of backgrounds, whether it's as a chiropractor, acupuncturist, psychotherapist, psychologist, medical doctor, addictions counselor, et cetera.
I love that you touched on that, because I did start off at first, even in my own journey, through finding a program online and, you know, tapping on my own, and I could feel the limitations with some of it. I got pretty far enough to buy into it. I thought there's something to this, but I knew that I wanted more and I needed to go deeper, but I didn't know how to get more out of it. And that's when I sought out my first practitioner, you know, that led me on my journey. And that actually led me after that on my journey to you and your wife, Alina, and training for you guys. And it's part of why I had you here today, because I think you guys are so talented and incredible healers, and that you especially have just a wonderful way of talking about the science of it, and that we do have kind of the woo-woo part of it of like, wow, you just experience it and you feel better, but there is a science behind it. And I was curious how you, before we get more into the science, how you went from being a skeptic to being a believer and now almost a preacher of EFT.
Yeah, I would say that twofold. One is, I think most people that move from skeptical to not so convert often have some direct experience themselves.
That makes sense.
And so that certainly was part of it. On my own physical pain issues that I had, that I thought, well, they're clearly just physical, I just hurt myself, to working on the emotional and energetic parts, and all of a sudden the pain was gone. And that's kind of hard to deny when you have a personal experience. I would say also that that the confidence and you know, decision of the clarity of its effectiveness was seen as a combination of looking at the research, of working with clients and seeing really phenomenal changes in their lives and their well-being. And so that just continues to grow over time. I'm always careful to say what we're good at and what we're not, what's documented and published and what's not, because something doesn't have to have research to be effective, but research does back up on a level starting to understand the mechanisms about why it works, about seeing the different kinds of conditions it helps for. But for any one individual person to all of a sudden be in a situation that's a pretty adverse scenario or conflict and all of a sudden be at peace with that or neutral about it is usually, I would say, the reason that most people end up converting and using it. I trained so many different licensed mental health care providers that say, you know, I first heard about it through one of my clients. And they told me they were doing this tapping thing, and I kind of rolled my eyes. And then they made changes that maybe it took months or years for us to start to make, and all of a sudden, in a very rapid period of time, they were seeing pretty dramatic changes. And then they'd see it in another client, and it would be like, okay, like, I'm still skeptical, but there's got to be something to this. It's not like I'm paying these people or somebody's paying them to give me a testimonial. I'm seeing these real changes with my patients and clients. So I would say all of those things and observations have contributed to why I'm so passionate about this. And I really want to be clear. I hear myself say that. And I also want to say that there are many different approaches to working with people's emotional and physical problems, that there are many different effective ways of working with trauma, that there's a whole host of techniques and interventions. But what we're starting to find is when people are looking to make deep-seated changes in the way that they see the world or believe, especially when they're based on adverse experiences and traumas that people have had, a lot of techniques out there aren't as effective. And we're starting to see more body-based approaches that are including an integrated intellectual, emotional, physical, energetic approach that are showing pretty rapid and effective long-term results. And so that's the direction I see a lot of healthcare moving in for these kinds of issues.
Right. And I love that you pointed that out, you know, that we're becoming moving into a healthcare model that is more, you know, body, mind, and spirit, that we're addressing the whole parts of people and maybe not just talking or the mind. And I was just curious if someone was going to ask you, how does EFT even work? Like, how does this tapping thing work? How would you answer that?
Mm-hmm. So I will give you an answer, and the ultimate answer is we don't know.
Okay.
Right? So, and I'll give you theories, and I'll give you some of the research and plausible mechanisms that science and research keeps looking at. But ultimately, do we really know? I mean, when we look at most medical interventions, we often say, you know what? We see it works, and this is how we think it works, but ultimately we don't really know how penicillin works, et cetera. So I'm going to come from that perspective of not being a know-it-all or saying things are a fact when they're not. But what we're looking at is, I'll look at it from a few different levels. On one hand, tapping is built on a stimulation of different mechanoreceptor points on the body, and these points are meridian endpoints. Right, so these are points that have been used in Chinese medicine and acupuncture for thousands and thousands of years that are like these electric gaps or windows of decreased resistance. So its stimulation seems to have an effect with the neurohormonal part of our physiology, that the tapping on these points seems to have some sort of more powerful effect than tapping on other sham points that are not those points. So we know something's happening there, and we can measure increased electrical activity, et cetera. So that's one level.
You're something saying that happens. we have some meridian points in our body, that when we tap on them, that there's an effect in here, a calming effect.
Sure, and the points that we use in tapping, which are, you know, near the eyebrow and outside the eye and under the nose and under the chin, these different points that EFT uses are ones where those meridian endpoints or acupoints are very close to the surface of the skin, so they're more easily stimulated than those deeper points that needles need to go in deeper to be able to stimulate. So those points that are used are easy, they're accessible, they don't have to be under the clothes, so to speak, or in hard-to-reach places. So there's a reason that certain points are being utilized. So that's one.
Okay.
The second thing that we're looking at, and science is starting to validate this, is that somehow that stimulating these points in this particular way is causing a decrease in stress that's measured by a change in brainwave speed, that's measured by a change in cortisol stress hormone levels, that are measured, as we're starting to see even in brain physiology with recent functional MRI studies that are happening. So again, that still doesn't say how it's working. It's saying that when it's being done, we're seeing these things happen in the body that are signs of calm, relaxation, reduction in stress levels. Again, still not a mechanism, but saying, okay, we're getting more and more objective evidence that these physiological signs are happening beside the ones of me just feeling better or feeling less stressed or more relaxed. And then when we start to look at changes in behavior, when we start to look at changes in responses, of phobic responses, of fear responses, and anxiety responses, responses to triggers around PTSD, et cetera, we're starting to see that somehow the body's responding in not so strong ways in response and defensiveness, et cetera. And so there are different theoretical explorations that are looking at, for example, the hypotheses of memory reconsolidation and other ways which we're starting to try to understand how does the body store trauma? How does the brain store trauma? How, when we think about bad things that have happened to us, why do we react for some things in a neutral way and some things in a very strong way? And so the EFT steps are starting to be looked at through the ideas that we can take memories and experiences from the past in which we would normally respond very strongly to something similar, and then somehow there's a what we call a counter conditioning. Instead of a conditioned response of all of a sudden a noise happening and me screaming, all of a sudden there's a noise happening and I've countered that response with a new relaxed response of going, oh, there's a loud noise, I don't have to jump at that, all below the level of awareness. So the answer is we don't know. The other answer is that there are many different research papers. Dr. Feinstein has written the most recent paper on mechanisms of physiological responses for how EFT is presumed to be working. But again, there's still a lot more science that needs to be done and performed.
So, I know that we're at, you know, just to be the tip of the iceberg when we're looking at research studies, and there's so many more that need to be done. The ones that have been conducted, where can our listeners find them if they wanted to read up a little bit more on the research this far?
Sure. So this is obviously, and you know this about me, this is something I'm passionate about. Not because somebody has to have research to find EFT to work, but often people's mindsets are such that they may not try it till they know that there's more research supporting it. So it was really that idea of how do we reach out to universities and different academic bodies to be able to share with them this information. Without the research, they wouldn't listen because they need that kind of validation. So we took a six-year project on creating basically a video project called The Science of Tapping. So for the listeners, the best way to find information on that would simply be to go to scienceoftapping.org. And there you'll find the top-tier studies. You'll find the meta-analyses, which there are for EFT, for example, on anxiety, on depression, on PTSD, so you can find those there. You can find a randomized controlled trial. So we have randomized controlled trials on all kinds of topics there, so you can find all of those there. You can find a section there on EFT in the media and in the news. So that would be the best resource. If you're interested in learning more about the technique, et cetera, our website is EFTTappingTraining.com because we run the EFT Tapping Training Institute. But as far as just looking at the research, so on the .org site, you can find the top-tier research. If you go to the research area on our business website, you can literally find every tapping study with my comments, good and bad about them. So, yeah, so that would be those are some good resources. Another great book just came out, too, called The Science Behind Tapping, which was written by a colleague from Australia at Bond University. She's a psychologist, Dr. Peeta Stapleton. An excellent book just came out by Hay House, and it includes pretty much all the up-to-date research as well in book form. and you can get that on Amazon. So, yeah, I think those are good resources.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And I know that that can be a lot to digest. You know, I was following along with you because this is something that I practice and I've done a lot of research on as well. But I think what might help people take it in, I know for me, was one, the experience, but two, just what is he even talking about? What is someone going to feel, you know, when they sit down in a session? How does this even work? Like, let's say, for instance, because I know you work a lot with pain, I'm thinking, how does this tapping thing actually, like, help my pain? So if someone were to come down and sit in your office saying, I have this pain in my shoulder, where do you go from there? What would a person even expect?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So here's what I would say. If somebody comes to me as a chiropractor, they're not necessarily coming to me to explore the emotional root causes or participating factors in their pain. They usually are just there for their physical pain.
Right.
I have
this
headache, I have this back pain, I have the sciatic, I have the shoulder pain. Make it go away, like now.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's what most people want who enjoys pain. Not too many people. So what I would say is that I don't bring EFT to the table as a technique when somebody comes to me as a chiropractor, unless we're not getting the results that I think that we should be getting quickly enough, or perhaps because as I started to ask questions, they've started to realize or come to terms with or share with me the amount of stress that they're under.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them, when did this start? It started last week. Okay, what was going on in your life the last week or two or even the last month? It's like, well, I lost my job. My wife told me she was going to leave me, and my kid was just brought into the police station. So all of a sudden, they're like naming these tremendous emotional stressors.
Right.
And so once people start understanding that mind-body connection between stress and potentially linked or at least contributing to their physical pain, I often mention, well, other than the adjustments and massage and stretching and physical rehabilitation things I do, I would say, you know, you're talking about all these stressful things that were going on right before. Do you think there could be a connection? And often people are going, I don't know, but I wasn't having this problem before that.
Right.
So that usually is the kind of the window or doorway in for me that says, well, you know what? I don't know if you saw on my website, but I also do this other technique that addresses those specific emotional, stressful things that are going on. Are you open and willing to try something different? And usually they say yes, and that's when we usually start with a form of EFT that's very simple. And pretty soon, in a few minutes, they're noticing a 30, 40, 50% reduction in their pain, and they're like, what the heck did you just do? What is that? And that usually by then there's enough buy-in to start having a deeper conversation. But I don't, you know, I don't try to sell people on it. I don't try to force it on somebody that's not already interested or exploring or cognizant of the mind-body stress connection and exploring it and asking questions about that.
Right, really meeting people where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that's important.
And if they say, well, what did just happen here? I mean, 40% of my, it feels like 40% reduction in my pain. What do you tell them?
Yeah, so how I address describing EFT, whether I'm speaking about it on a more energetic level, a more emotional level, a more physiological level, really depends on the client and the patient or the patient I'm working with. If somebody is an engineer or a neurosurgeon, there are ways that I might try to explain what just happened that way. If there's somebody that's really kind of a more quantum-y, mind-body, metaphysical, interested person, exploring kind of multi-dimensions to what's happening in their lives, then I'd have a different kind of conversation. So for me, the conversation content depends on the interests and openness of the client. And then again, would often be, you know what? The body has a capacity, innate capacity to heal, that when we decrease the stressors and we decrease the stress response in the body, then we can start to have muscular relaxation. We can start to be more in a sense of peace. We start to reduce inflammation just by being in a more relaxed state, inflammation that's being reduced, et cetera. So how, you know, again, these are just different theories that are pointing to mechanisms, some of which we understand, We're starting to look at everything, even EFT working on an epigenetic level for the way that proteins are expressed or not expressed depending on what our current physiology is doing and how stressed or not we are. So the level of conversation I have is going to depend on the interest, the real interest of the client. Do they really care? Or do they just, or is it just like, how'd that happen? And I'd say, oh, it's interesting, isn't it? And that's all they needed to know.
Right.
So that's going to vary on the person.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Again, I love, you know, tailoring it to meeting people where they're at and what they want to know. And some people are like, explain everything. And some people are like, wow, that just worked. Let's keep going. And again, we're about to go on a break here. I just wanted to say we're speaking with Craig Weiner on EFT tapping. And you're on the Chris Castle Show here. And if you want to get a hold of Craig, you can reach him at EFTTappingTraining.com. And we'll be right back with you.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hey, welcome back. You're on the Chris Castle Show, and we're here with Craig Weiner talking about EFT tapping and how to heal through tapping. And we had a lot of great information, Craig. Thank you for sharing, you know, what it's like if someone comes and sits down in your office and what the next steps are and how they might experience that. And I know that we keep touching each segment, you know, back to stress. What is the thing, the underlying thing that connects all of these different situations, whether it's eating, trauma, you know, childhood memories, depression, anxiety, relationship problems, and you really said the underlying piece, the key to that is the stress response that happens in our body, pain. And so I just wanted to see if you could elaborate a little bit more on when someone is having a stress response, what is happening in their brain and what's happening in their body?
Sure. So many things. So I'll keep it brief and simple, but when we're I want to say a few things. So when we look at stress, there's really two types of stress. There's eustress and distress, but mostly we speak about the distress as stress. Because good stress is what actually gets us out of bed in the morning. Eustress or good stress is what motivates us and inspires us to take action. So I just want to clarify that the stress response is a normal and healthy response unless it goes into overcharge, right? So
right.
That stress isn't all bad. However, you know, a classic example, if the dog, you know, it's foaming at the mouth, starts running down the street and barreling at you, you want to be able to go into a stress mode to quickly evade and get away from that incoming threat.
Absolutely.
So you want that stress response. Very effective and very consuming in that moment to be able to send, you know, blood flow to your feet and to your eyes to see more clearly and to your ears to hear more clearly and to your feet to run more quickly. So that stress response is much desired, that capacity to be able to do that. So I just want to clarify, you know, stress is a funny thing. When we start to look at if all of a sudden that happened and I jumped over the fence and then the dog couldn't get me anymore and my heart rate, you know, climbed, you know, and my pulse rate climbed and beating so hard, my chest is heaving, et cetera, I want that to be able to then return to a normal physiological state within a relatively short period of time and not keep beating at that and pounding at that level for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
So our ability to be resilient and be able to return to a place of homeostasis and balance is really critical. So when we're in a stressed state, right, what happens is energy and blood flows where it's most needed. And when we're stressed, we're not, for example, spending a lot of energy, blood flow, hello?
I still get you
here. I lost you for a second. Not toward resting or reproducing or recovering. So what I want to say is when we go into stress mode, things happen. So our brain waves become shorter and faster. Our heart rate increases. Our breathing becomes more shallow. Blood flow drains away from that reasoning part of our brain, our frontal cortex, into other areas. So all these things happen which make us less able reasonably respond in a best way. In other words, if all of a sudden somebody cuts me off in the road, I want to be able to have a perspective like, wow, maybe he's on the way to the hospital. Maybe, you know, there's some emergency happening. I don't want to automatically respond in a defensive way that goes to cut him off or start to ram him from behind.
Right.
So my ability to use all of my brains at all times is ideal, for example, for reasoning and being able to understand and make wise decisions in any one moment.
Yes, that would be helpful.
Yeah, so when we're stressed, blood flow drains away from that reasoning part of our brain. And then what starts to happen is we start to respond from a more automatic or defensive or emotional state, which most people in a relationship usually recognize as something that they've experienced, because when we're under stress, we're not at our best. And we can respond with anger or shutting down or a variety of emotions that don't necessarily best serve the situation, that when we're in a more relaxed state, we would say, you know what, maybe let's see if we can talk this out. Let's see if we can just take a minute to ourselves here, but when we're stressed, we can't think that constructively.
Right. So I really hear you saying that when we are at this heightened level of stress and emotional intensity, that our reasoning brain kind of loses all its juice. So it almost becomes impossible, don't want to say impossible, but really difficult to access reasoning in kind of a way of in logic, that we just get hijacked, you know, by our survival part of our brain.
Well, I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, it's not black and white. It's not all or nothing, but it certainly is decreased in its effective ability to work at its highest potential. And so from neurological and physiological and blood flow and a variety of different things, in that situation, we're not as effective in bringing a broader perspective to the situation. So for me, what I look at is when doing tapping, when working through different triggers, when working through different things that have happened in my life, then I can be more constructive and available and present in a greater and wider variety of situations, so that I can respond with the greatest resource state, my greatest wisdom, my greatest presence, etc., in more and more variety of situations. And when I've lived a life that has been adverse, that has had hard situations, and so I've made emotional-based decisions based on those things, then, for example, you know, well, I can't go out in public and feel safe. I can't speak in front of people. I can't go to sleep with the lights off. I can't go to the... So, you know, different experiences cause different decisions based that are specially emotionally based that limit my ability to be calm, grounded, centered in a variety of different situations. And so it impedes my ability to have a happy, healthy life, to be really honest.
Right. So in that way, I mean, I think when you talk about it, it just speaks to how powerful EFT can be, or just the idea of if we find a way to calm that stress in us first, then we can access, you know, more, we can resource all the parts of our brain and ways of handling a situation so that we can just live
a better life, or we're responding versus maybe reacting, that we have a chance to really bring everything online and think about how we want to handle a situation, which sometimes feels impossible. You sometimes, my clients come in, and even in my own life, you know, when you're just so upset and you're like, ah, I want to kill this person, or, you know, that you just don't even feel like you can, that you can get to that.
I mean, that's human. Let's be honest. That's, you know, we all have our Achilles heel. We all have times when we're not at our best. We all sometimes have lived through extremely stressful, hard periods in our life when it's diminished our capacity to be as resilient, to be as resourced at that time. You know, tremendous variety of different circumstances, you know, from poverty to family stress and family violence. And you know, there's so many different types of adversity. You know, the time we're living in politically right now is incredibly stressful. And if we spend a lot of time paying attention to that, we're not necessarily in our best state all the time. And, you know, as a psychotherapist, you're working with giving people strategies, trying to come to terms with finding peace with the situation they're in, trying to be able to accept who they are, trying to be able to create healthy boundaries, be able to find places that they feel safe in relationship, and, you know, all kinds of strategies. And tapping happens to be one that, you know, is surprisingly effective quickly. And I'm continually blown away by the amount of, you know, counselors and therapists and psychologists that say, you know, I've been doing this for 20 and 30 years, but there's something about this technique. I can't quite describe it or explain it, but it just works incredibly quickly. Not for everybody, not all the time, but I hear that, you know, every day, to be really honest.
And,
so there's something here. Yeah.
There's definitely something here, and I'm glad that you said that. And nothing is for everybody, every day, all the time, but it dramatically changed my practice, and the speed at which my clients were overcoming things and healing by bringing in EFT as a tool. So I mean, I'm a believer, and that's definitely why I have you here today, because I know it's just helped so many of my clients. And not only that we can do things in session, but that here's a tool that they can walk outside of my office with and they can use it on their own to feel a little bit more control over their life and their body and their mind when things do get heightened. And that's incredibly empowering to watch. And
great.
And I wanted to know a little bit more about, so I know we're talking about stress. I feel like EFT has also been incredibly powerful in trauma work. And I wanted to know if you could touch a little bit more, if you could talk a little bit more about trauma and, yeah, just what happens in the body and how you've seen EFT in addressing trauma.
Yeah, it's a really big topic. And I thank you for bringing it up because, how do I say this? I think that people look at me in a funny way when I get so excited talking about trauma, right? Because that's okay. I don't know.
It's not a fun topic.
Sounds morbid. It's certainly not a fun topic. But I think that my appreciation for the profound implications of trauma helped me to more deeply understand myself, my clients, people that write in or call in or reach out to me trying to understand why they keep doing certain things or feeling certain ways despite knowing better, despite understanding, and somehow they still feel out of control in overcoming or overwhelmed by certain situations or things that they've lived through or unable to make a change despite trying so hard. So that often leads us to the conversation of trauma. And so on one hand, people will think of trauma as, you know, when somebody was in a bad car accident or when somebody lived through a shooting or when somebody experienced being, you know, violated in some way, et cetera. And so all of those things are true. So if I ask most people, have they lived through trauma, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, not too bad, I had a good life, et cetera. But most people have lived through trauma. There's just various severities of trauma. And there's no one definition, but just to point, one of my favorite, one of my heroes, one of my mentors, a physician from Canada named Gabramate. He says, you know, trauma, the Greek word, the Greek, trauma is the Greek word, basically, the origins of it, for wound, W-O-U-N-D, wound. That somehow it's a wounding that happens that hardens you psychologically and then interferes with your ability to grow and develop. And so what I would say is that when a traumatic something happens, there is a perceived threat. There's a perceived threat to our well-being. It overwhelms the capacity of the moment so that it produces a sense of powerlessness and a feeling of isolation or aloneness, that something or somebody violated my expectations. So when we looked at traumatic moments, on one hand, as an adult, a traumatic moment may look like that earthquake in which injuries happened or that shooting or whatever that was. But as a child, 4, 5, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, etc., much lesser circumstances lead to those same feelings, lead to a sense of aloneness, a feeling like you're about to die, a feeling of being isolated. So what I find most interesting...
And Craig, this is incredible information, and we have to go to a commercial break, but I want you to hold on to that, because we're definitely going to continue to talk about this, and we will be right back.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. Then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hey, welcome back, and you're listening to the Chris Castle Show here at chriscastle.com, K-R-Y-S-S, castle.com. And we are speaking here today with Craig, talking about EFT tapping. And we just were talking a little bit about trauma, and I would definitely like to pick up where you left off, because, you know, this is an incredibly important topic. And so I'm going to turn it back over to you, Craig.
Yeah, we left off talking about the impact of trauma.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so I want to say that, there's so much to say. So
I know.
I'm just abbreviating. What I would say is we are finally starting to move toward being a culture that some would refer to as a trauma-informed culture, where we are beginning to utilize and appreciate the depth of the consequences of trauma. And so when we start to look at understanding how trauma, especially as a child, affects our neurophysiology and the way it shapes our brain, literally, affects things. So taking that into consideration with judicial and social and justice issues with regard to educational systems and the way people learn in relationships. So having a trauma-informed approach helps us to understand that a person is doing the best they can, but the best they can is impeded and and or affected by the traumatic experiences that they live through. And of course, the same experience, two people can be in the same car accident, two siblings could be in the same household, two, you know, friends can experience the same event and experience it extremely differently depending on the experiences that they had outside of that particular event. So, for example, in veterans diagnosed with PTSD, we've come to see just the percentage of those were not just affected that developed PTSD, just what happened in wartime and in battle, but was set up by the adverse events that they experienced early in their life, especially in their childhood. When we start to look at one of the most replicated studies affecting this area, exploring this area, what is called the ACEs studies, or the Adverse Childhood Experiences studies.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to look at when those were done and first studied, they only measured 10, you know, emotional, physical, sexual abuse, somebody in the household when you were before 18 that left the household, somebody that had mental health issues and addiction issues somewhere, there was violence in the home. So when we start to look at, you know, the 10 initial issues beyond which there are significant ones that weren't even measured, and you start to look at people that have 3 or 4 of those different events experiences as a child, we start to look at huge increases in addiction, at huge increase in suicidal attempts, huge increases in liver disease, heart disease, shortening of lifespan. So, you know, these studies have gone to really document around the world the connection between emotional, psychological, traumatic experiences that then affect us as not just when it's happening, but as adults. So the effects of trauma are, you know, they just keep giving. And so it's a huge piece of what we do with EFT, because we're often working with people that can't change their behavior. It's often rooted in the decisions and worldviews that they adopted based on those dangerous things that happened to us, or the way they were at least perceived that way when we were young.
Right. And I think that was beautiful just how you described everything. So I have so many clients that come in and they're like, I don't understand why I keep doing this the same way and I can't just not do it. Or, you know, I have some clients that come in that are incredibly aware of their trauma and just know they're like, I just can't function. You know, I'm afraid of everything. I don't want to go out. I can't interact with people. And then I have people, when I started doing that, giving out that ACEs study in my intake paperwork, I had long conversations on the phone and so many people that never mentioned anything that was on there. And then when they would fill that out, realizing that they had 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 of those experiences out of the 10, you know, not even realizing that it played any role in their life or in their health. And so it's just, it's so prevalent, and I love the way that you described it, and just that two people in the same household can experience, you know, or have experiences, you know, different later in life or respond differently or react differently, even though they might.
I mean, you know, just even beginning statistics, you know, in the average person with no ACEs, 1 out of almost 100 may attempt suicide in their life. If you've had above 4, it goes down to 1 in 5.
That's so scary.
Without ACEs, mm-hmm. without any ACEs, 1 in 14 have heart disease. With 4 more ACEs, 1 in 6. When you 169 people without ACEs are alcoholics, 1 in 6 are alcoholics with 4 or more. So, you know, we're starting to look at almost perhaps even a greater predictor of a lot of chronic physical diseases, even heart disease, may be our experience in adverse events during childhood, even more, maybe playing even more of a role than our diet or exercise. So it really is changing the way we think.
Absolutely.
About disease.
Yeah, that's it's mind blowing. You know, it's mind blowing to know how much of a contributor it is. You know, and the awareness that we're starting to have. So if somebody comes to you, and, you know, experiencing trauma or saying, you know, I have this and I'm feeling stuck in this way, you know, what would you say to somebody about how EFT can start to help them with trauma?
Sure. I mean, I do a lot of education of this, not just with clients, but with practitioners. And I would say it really depends on the number and severity So, for example, tapping can be used as a great stress reduction self-regulation technique, but somebody trying to heal from, you know, a sexual injury should not be doing it by themselves.
Right.
Right? That's not safe practice. And somebody dealing with complex developmental trauma and childhood abuse, that's not something they should be doing themselves. And they should be working with somebody that ideally is a licensed practitioner and certified in using EFT before they would go and work with those kinds of issues. So the broad array of EFT is, yes, it can absolutely be used as a stress reduction technique. But there are also ways to use it for dealing with trauma.
Right.
I would say often when people come in, whether they're working on stress in a relationship or a health issue or financial stress or business, not getting ahead in business because it makes them feel scared or because it makes them feel vulnerable or not safe or the fear of being seen or any number of things, they don't often come in saying, oh, I want to work on the traumas of my past, right? That's not what most people say. Most people are trying to solve a problem that find EFT. They're trying to achieve something or let go of something or change something. But what I find most of the time, or very commonly, is that the heart of that inability to move forward are traumatic events. And so
right.
That's something where you really need to be skilled, working with a skilled, certified practitioner, whether they're, you know, if they're using EFT. If you're dealing with a lot of that, then you should be working definitely with a licensed mental health care provider. So it depends on the severity, and it depends on the situation, and we're not going to get into great detail here.
No, that makes sense. And we have to just...
But that's something I know that on your radio show you can go into more depth with at another time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hate cutting it off at this point, but we do have to go to a commercial break, and we will be right back with you, and we're talking with Greg Wiener about EFT.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hey, welcome back to the Chris Castle Show. And if you need to get in touch with me, you can reach me at krysscastle.com. And we are just wrapping up here with Craig Wiener talking about EFT. And I'm so sad to end here because I know that we could talk about this for so much longer. And you have so much incredible information. And I wanted to thank you for coming on the show. And can you let our listeners know how to get in touch with you if you want to know more about EFT or they have questions or they'd like to check out your website?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So there's, you know, we have a free manual at our website. You can sign up for, we send out a monthly newsletter with interviews and articles. And you can just go to EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques, EFTTappingTraining.com. And if you're interested in the research, you can go to scienceoftapping.org. You can email me, Craig at EFTTappingTraining.com. I'm happy to answer questions. I do that personally myself. And, we have interviews, we have articles, we have videos and podcasts. We've got EFT tapping training on YouTube. So, lots of ways you can reach me through Chris. And it's just been really an honor to be here and love that you're doing this work and sharing it with everybody out there. It's so exciting to know that.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being on the show. And I just wanted to thank you again for, you know, all that you and Alina have taught me. And I'm just excited to keep spreading this message. And I hope everybody has a wonderful day.